madness with a view to a kill. Welcome to Movie Madness. It's Bond-cember, or maybe Bonduary by the time this comes out. I have no idea. I am your host, David Double D Dennis, and I'm joined with...
Hello, it is me, Christopher Walken.
Whoa, Christopher Walken, how did we get you on the show? Incredible.
Lots of alcohol. Oh, I can't even do... I just failed that impression. All right, it's me.
That's better than I can do,
Randy,
I think.
Walken. Christopher Walken's little talked about son.
My illegitimate son, who I never talk about. See, that's my terrible Christopher Walken impression. I think yours was even better.
Alright.
So yep. Why are we talking about Christopher Walken?
Because he's in what might be the greatest Bond movie ever, A View to a Kill.
We're talking Walken this episode.
We're Walken.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Our talk. No,
yeah,
wait.
Exactly.
Dang it.
We can walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah,
when it comes
that's
to talking,
what
walking,
I was going to try and say.
I don't know.
What are the walking, talking robots?
Say that 10 times fast.
Walking, talking robots. Walking, talking robots. I'm
okay,
not
don't
do that
actually.
Because nobody
stop.
Wants to hear that.
Okay, so yeah, we're talking about A View to a Kill, which should have been called From a View to a Kill. Sorry, that's a pet peeve of mine. Because the short story that it's based on is called From a View to a Kill, and at the end of Octopussy, it says James Bond will return in From a View to a Kill, and then they just took the from out of the title last minute, and I have no idea why.
Yeah,
I've looked it up on the internet, and I can't find any explanation as to why they took the word from.
Yeah, my biggest concern is that the movie's title randomly comes up in the movie, and it makes no sense with what he says. I'm like, what the hell is Christopher Walken talking about? It's like, quite a view, and then he goes, to a kill! Bam, 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 bam! And everyone's like, what the fuck is
what?
Going on?
That's... There's no killing happening in this scene. There's lots of killing in this movie, but in that one particular scene, when they say the title, there is no killing.
Exactly.
So it makes no sense. Actually, it this movie, I've been reading all of the James Bond books. I just finished For Your Eyes Only, and that has the From a View to a Kill like short story on it, and it has nothing to do with this movie at all. Because the original short story is like... this like motorcycle dispatch guy in France, and
what,
like, the secret?
No, it's not. That's not possible. A motorcycle
what?
Dispatch guy? What does that even mean?
It's a motorcycle cop. I don't know.
The villain is a motorcycle cop.
No. There's a motorcycle cop who gets killed by the villain, who's also posing as a motorcycle cop. And then James Bond finds out, and he kills the other guy on the motorcycle.
This is preposterous. I'm glad.
Some of the James Bond short stories are really weird. Like, the short story for Quantum of Solace is literally he goes to a dinner party, and he meets up with a guy who just talks to him about his friend and his awful relationship he had with this girl that went south and how it led to their divorce. And that's it. It's just them
really?
Having a conversation.
My gosh.
Some of the James Bond stories are really weird and have, like, no action in them. But they're oddly entertaining at the same time.
This is a strange revelation that I have now.
Yes.
I could not think of a good sentence to say. Interesting, Dave. Very interesting.
That was an interesting way to phrase that.
Yeah. Or not interesting at all.
All right, so coming back to this movie, 1985's A View to a Kill was Roger Moore's last James Bond film.
Really?
And
he really?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
I'm surprised that is the same. Like that's his last one because it doesn't seem like he's that old.
Well, he was. I think he was like 56. Something like that when they made this. The weird thing is, a lot of people don't know this, but Roger Moore is actually 2 years older than Sean Connery. He just looks younger.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, I guess. That's they really it really doesn't matter about actual age. It just matters about if you look your age.
But he was well into his late 50s by the time they made this. Personally, I feel like Octopussy should have been his last one.
No.
And they could have got a new guy for this one. Well, I think he was a bit too old.
What in this movie could he not have done?
He just looked old. I don't know.
I didn't think he looked old at all. Are we even watching the same movie?
Maybe because I was watching it on Blu-ray, you could see all of his wrinkles.
Oh,
and stuff.
I'm Dave. I have the Blu-ray copy of Neutral Gear. Oh, you don't have that here? Oh, I feel so bad for you. What a pity. I'm Dave Dennis. I am a hipster doofus.
Hey, now you're just turning into Scott.
Sorry, that was. I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld, and Kramer gets called a hipster doofus, so I just wanted to use it in a sentence.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting combination of insults. All right, so why don't we kind of go into A View to a Kill and sort of explain what happens in this movie.
Can you explain to me what happens? I'm just kidding. So this movie starts, and it's Bond in a undisclosed location, probably like Russia, someplace with snow. I don't know. It's no big deal where it's at.
It was... Oh, hilarious.
Wait, do you actually know where it is? Where it was?
Oh, I was going to say, I think it was filmed in Iceland.
Oh, okay, that kind of makes sense.
But I don't know if it's supposed to be Iceland in the movie.
Anyways, he's having a pretty awesome fight scene and like a chase scene with some skis. And then all of a sudden it turns into a snowboard. And then the song Everybody's Gone Surfing USA goes on. We won't really talk about that part because the rest of the movie's awesome. But that part really made no plausible sense. So that sucked. But other than that, it was really good. Anyway, so then he goes back to this little submarine, but it looks like an iceberg. And then he goes in and there's this Russian girl and they're like, it's going to take a while to get back. So how about you get on your back? Wah, wah, wah. And then they have a bunch of fellatio, as it's called, in the business. And
it's all on screen, by the way. It's the first NC-17 rated Bond movie. Amazing.
It's pretty intense. Anyways, so then it cuts to this scene where they go to this horse race and some horse races. And this guy with white hair who looks a lot like Christopher Walken. It is Christopher Walken. All right, so Christopher Walken has these super horses who never seem to lose. And it's like, well, maybe the horses are taking steroids. Like, I don't think so. We've done all the tests. So it's literally impossible. There's no way. No way at all. It turns out the horses are using super mysterious steroids. Not your normal steroids. Super mysterious science steroids. And this is found out when Bond infiltrates Zorin, who is Christopher Walken's character's name, his compound where he has all the horses, and he pretends like he's gonna go buy a horse, and instead he just has sex with Zorin's girlfriend, which Zorin doesn't really seem to care about. He's like, oh.
Yeah, he kind of sees her going into the bedroom, and he's like, oh, see you later.
Oh, you're gonna have sex with that man? Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever. I'm kind of indifferent towards this whole situation. Oh, okay, bye. And then they go, they do it, and then all of a sudden she's like, wait a minute, don't I recognize you from a scene earlier in the movie that Andrew didn't talk about? And she's like, oh, yes, it's that guy from Paris? Was they in Paris? They go to Paris at one point.
Yeah, they go... That's the only thing from the short story they actually kept in this movie, is that they go to Paris. There's probably the best part of the whole movie, in my opinion. They go on the Eiffel Tower, and there's, like, a chase scene, and then she jumps off of the Eiffel Tower, which suddenly grows, like, a springboard for some reason.
Yeah, and she has that, like, awesome fishing rod that just stabs some guy. And then Bond makes a really inappropriate pun, I thought, because it's like, oh, that guy's just dead. He wasn't even like a villain, so there's no reason to make a pun about this guy's death. But whatever, Bond, do what you want. I'm not.
And somehow getting like a fish hook in his neck kills him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was poisoned, or they don't really say that it was poisoned.
I think it was poisoned. Come on, Dave. We all know poison fish hooks when we see them. Anyways, so this gets our friend Christopher Walken suspicious, and he starts doing some information, typing it up on an old ancient computer, and it goes, beep, 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 beep. His real name is James Bond. He has a license to kill. And as a child, I always got this movie mixed up with License to Kill because of that one scene where License to Kill flashes like 5 times. Like, License to Kill! Yeah. License to Kill! Really crappy computer. Anyways, so then...
That was like state-of-the-art in 1985.
Oh, yeah. So
that
then,
computer probably cost thousands of dollars or something.
Christopher Walken, his horse steroids gets... His ring gets stomped out by Bond. And then we find out that Christopher Walken is the birth of super steroids tested on a bunch of people during Russia, blah, blah, blah. Russia, used
so
to be scientists.
Stupid. In the most stupid,
that was
pointless
awesome.
Subplot of all time.
Okay, no, seriously, I thought that was an awesome intro to a Bond villain. Like, that he's like, he's an experiment and he's gone crazy. I thought that perfectly worked
okay,
for
would,
Christopher Walken's character.
It would be cool if it was like, it's an experiment and it gave him super strength or something, but it was just
no,
like,
no, it gave him super intelligence.
No, he's not even that smart, though. Like, where do we see him being super
I'm
intelligent?
Pretty sure
it's just like
he's
it was—it was an experiment that made the most average man, but also he's insane. Anyone could be insane.
No.
It doesn't have to be an experiment that makes you crazy. You could just be crazy.
Oh, I'm Dave. I need more sophisticated means for my crazy people. Anyways, so
I
much
do,
for
though.
Dave. Okay, so now we're back to the movie. Where am I? Stuff happens. Oh, and
Bond finds out that he's crazy because of Nazis making
and
crazy
soldiers.
And it's also
discovered that Zorin is making these microchips out of silicon, and I guess that's why it's called Silicon Valley, because that's where they get all the stuff for the microchips. Anyways, so he's like, you must join with me and we will create the ultimate microchips. And they're like, eh, I don't know. One Asian guy's like, eh, I'm not feeling this whole microchip business. He's like, oh, okay, please step down the stairwell, button. He goes flying out and dies. As all evil villains do, they just eject all of the people who don't agree with them. And then it's revealed that Zorin has some crazy-ass plan to blow up 2 tectonic plates and flood all of San Francisco, which is awesome. He just plans on just destroying Silicon Valley and having the majority supply of microchips, I guess? I don't know. That was
it
kind of
sounds like a plot to another James Bond movie, Gold something. Something about gold with an appendage.
GoldenEye.
I don't know.
Yes, GoldenEye. It does sound like
GoldenEye.
Oh,
yeah, that's what it is.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So, GoldenEye. And then... Zorin gets really badass and just starts killing everybody in the mine, even his lovely henchwoman who he loves but not loves, and that all gets thwarted, and then they have an amazing final battle on the Golden Gate Bridge with an axe. It's the coolest thing ever put to screen. Seriously, guys,
it's
amazing.
Really not that cool,
it's
but okay.
Awesome. He's got an axe and he's all like, Bond, you're about to be bridged. And he's like, no, we ain't over the River Kwai. And then they try and have this fight. And then...
Neither of them say any of those things.
And then he falls down and he goes, no. And then his Nazi friend who created him is like, no, my friend is dead. So he gets out a gun. He's like, pew, 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 pew. And Bond's like, whoa, let's hide under the Golden Gate Bridge's Golden Gates, and they're dodging all this thing, and then he gets back up, and then Nazi guy's like, oh, look at this, some dynamite, I'm gonna light it, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's gonna blow up the Golden Gate Bridge, or at least part of the Golden Gates, and then all of a sudden he's about to throw it, and then Bond is like, I'm going to do something crazy, and he cuts a rope with an axe, and because the blimp was attached with a rope, and then the blimp starts floating away, and the guy drops the dynamite, and the blimp explodes. And then Bond has sex with a lady in it. The movie's over.
Okay. you get way too excited for this movie.
More like not excited enough, am I right? Okay. Ah, you are right, Andrew. Thank you.
I really am not particularly fond of this movie.
This movie isn't fond of you, Dave.
Good. Let's keep it that way.
Well, I'm surprised. I actually really like this Bond movie.
It's I'm not a huge fan. It's one of my ones that I would rank at the bottom of my Bond list.
Oh yeah, I suppose I could see somebody who doesn't know much about Bond. Oh wait, sorry. I respect your opinion, Dave. Come on, really? What's so bad about this film? It has like an awesome villain. It has some really cool fight scenes and battle scenes and a great chase in San Francisco with the police, and it has an amazing opening title song.
We'll go through all of the elements of this movie one by one and give them our little rankings, our Rankin Bass system, as you call it.
Did I actually call it a Rankin Bass?
Yes. But before we get to that, I want to say I do like this movie for about the first, 40 minutes or something like that. Up until that chase scene in Paris, that's, the coolest part of the movie. And then after that, I don't know, it kind of gets boring. There's some, stupid stuff about Nazi experiments that I talked about.
Again,
earlier.
Awesome. That stuff was really cool, I thought.
Not a huge fan of it. I just felt it was unnecessary. And as I hinted at earlier, it's basically the plot of Goldfinger, but with microchips. So not very original.
Okay. Well,
story-wise. All right. But first, let's go through the categories, unless there's something you wanted to say before we started.
I was going to say I don't really remember Goldfinger, so I can't really do too much criticism.
Really?
On that.
The penultimate Bond movie.
So, you know, I don't think I've seen all that movie.
Well, I've seen
Odd Job Goldfinger, scene, and I've seen the Fort Knox fight, and then when he throws a hat, and that comes, no, I expect you to die, all that stuff, but I don't know if I've ever actually seen the whole movie.
Well, it's definitely worth your time. But basically, the reason why it's so similar is in this movie, Max Zorin wants to flood Silicon Valley so that his microchips will be worth more money, which doesn't really make that much sense, but okay. And in Goldfinger is going to destroy Fort Knox so that his gold will be worth more money.
Oh, that's...
So it's basically the same thing, but with gold instead of microchips.
But Zorin is eviler, more evil. He wants to
only because Nazis made him evil.
Well,
Goldfinger is evil of his own accord.
He earned it from those Nazis. Lots of people died. Lots of other people died. His mom earned it. Other people died. He didn't though, because he was awesome. You're just jealous because you don't have Christopher Walken's hair in this movie. You're just jealous, Dave.
Fine, whatever.
Admit it.
Okay, I'm a little bit jealous of Christopher Walken.
Yeah, you wish you had an awesome horse stable, and not even the Godfather would mess with your horses. That's
how badass you are. I got to fight with Grace Jones while she's wearing that awesome thong suit thing.
Oh, Grace Jones. Anyways, okay, yes, continue.
Okay, the first category obviously is the Bond himself. Out of 5... I would give him
11.
A 2, because I just think Roger Moore was too old for this movie. I feel like he should have ended at either For Your Eyes Only or Octopussy. I feel like this would have been better if it was Timothy Dalton's first movie instead of Roger Moore's last, but whatever. He got greedy, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think so. I thought he was a good Bond. I don't know why. What in this movie do you think is lesser than him in previous movies?
I feel like he wasn't as into it as he was in For Your Eyes Only or The Spy Who Loved Me or some of his previous Bonds, where he seemed like he got more into the role. If that makes sense. I don't know. He seemed more like exuberant in the earlier ones. Here he kind of looked a little bit tired. Like you could tell it was
tired of
it
your
was
shenanigans.
Be his last.
I didn't get that at all. I really like the chase scene.
Okay.
I think most of this goes down to the the thing is, I think this is the one I remember watching as a kid the most. So I may have like extensive evil nostalgia and I'm not be able to like
maybe that's why.
Talk about it.
I never actually saw this one until recently. So like when I was a kid, I watched, for some reason, I didn't see many of the like 70s and 80s ones. Like I saw all of the 90s ones with Pierce Brosnan, and I saw all of the 60s ones with Sean Connery. But all the ones in between, I kind of saw a few here and there, but I didn't really like them as much.
Oh.
So my nostalgia is more for like the old Sean Connery Bonds.
So you have wrong nostalgia.
Not really. Sure, whatever.
For a minute you took offense to that. That was a terrible, terrible joke. I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness. Sorry, Dave.
No, it's good. It means we have fondness for different aspects of this franchise.
Yeah.
It gives us a different we look at it from different angles, which is good.
Yeah.
It'd be boring if we were both like, yeah, this movie's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, my angle's obtuse and yours is acute. What? Science. Math, come on, math. No.
Okay. I hate math, so let's not talk about that anymore.
Okay, back to Dave.
So you're giving this Bond an 11 out of 5, apparently.
No. I'll give him like a 4. I thought he was very Bond-like and memorable. Rememberable?
I'm giving him like a 2, maybe 2.5. I don't know.
Well,
okay, anyways. The Bond girls in this movie.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Sorry, you go first.
This may be the movie's weakness because Grace Jones is not the most attractive woman in history.
In all fairness, Grace Jones is more of a henchman than a Bond girl, in my opinion. She's kind of like the odd job or the Jaws of this movie. Like, she's like the villain's main henchman that kind of does his dirty work. But she happens to be female, and Bond sleeps with her in one random scene. So she's wearing two hats, as it were.
Right. I guess.
So I don't know if she would count. I would say Tanya Roberts was the main.
Which one was she?
Bond girl in this movie. The blonde chick that he like saves from the fire.
Oh.
Which is a scene we didn't actually talk about earlier, by the way.
Oh, when they burned down some.
Yeah, they burned down
California
a building.
City Hall.
And then James Bond like drives a fire truck. That's a cool scene. I'll give you that. I do like how he got
and
to
then,
drive a fire
like,
truck.
And then like when the whole scene with the bridge is happening and the bridge is going up, up and up, and then the police car comes and smashes down onto the other police cars.
And the guy's like, "Oh nuts!"
And he's
my
like,
police
"This is
car.
Being taken out of your next lieutenant promotion." That's not what he said at all. But he said some about you're not getting that promotion. And I was like, you jerk.
Okay.
Just because he crashed a car trying to fight Bond. You would crash a car trying to fight Bond. And then he crashes a car trying to fight Bond. Anyways.
Yep. So, the Bond girls in this movie, not counting Grace Jones, because, again, she's more of a sidekick for me. But I really don't like Tanya Roberts.
Oh, right. I forgot about that whole plot where there's the blonde, like, that blonde secret agent, the spy girl. Remember? Like, the Russian KGB girl? In this
She's
movie.
A spy? I don't remember that part of it.
She leaves Bond to try and get the cassette tape. LOL. And she gets a cassette tape, and then she hops into the cage, like the Russian general's vehicle. Remember? No. You don't. The Russian, like the Russian general, who's in like a bunch of the Roger Moore Bond movies. You know him, right?
Yeah, General Gogol or whatever.
General Google? Okay, Dave.
It's Gogol. It's G-O-G.
I heard
you. G-O-G-O-L.
General Google. I heard you, Dave. I heard you.
Fine, whatever.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so yeah, he's in this movie and she like works for him for a brief thing. Like he's the girl that he has jacuzzi sex with. And then when they like zoom out, it's revealed that it's like a public jacuzzi bar. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Because, like, it zooms out of the scene, and it's, like, it's a jacuzzi, like, place they're at. They're at, like, a spa and jacuzzi place. And I'm like, wait, so you mean, like, this is just, like, a public jacuzzi, and there's probably, like, other old couples that are hanging out at the same time? Like, oh, hey, look at these spy people. I don't know what they're doing here. Oh, quite right, madam.
I don't really remember this part as vividly as you do.
Oh, I happen to remember it vividly because I was there.
Okay.
Wait, I mean, I watched the movie, not I was... Yeah.
I was there when they filmed the movie.
I was movie filming.
Like 5 years before I was born.
How do you know?
Yeah, I'm not... I think I remember what... Don't they get, like, a tape... That's like it's not the tape that they want.
Well, it's a tape that is like is about Zorin, and the Russian girl wants to steal it because she's like, I want to steal it.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's a different girl though. That's not Tanya Roberts.
I'm not
That's
saying
like
it's
a random
Tanya Roberts. I'm saying it's the Russian spy girl who is the other Bond girl.
Okay. Wasn't that the chick who was also in Last Crusade?
Oh no.
What?
It was not, no. Believe
me. Okay, because she was also in this movie.
How? Oh, was she the girl at the very start, maybe?
No, she was like... I think she, like, trained Max Zorin's horses or something like that.
Oh, really?
And she was in, like, the... She had, like, gray pants with, like, the... She looked like she was dressed up as, like, a horse jockey type of thing. But she was played by the chick from Indiana Jones and Last Crusade.
Oh, well, it's a small world.
It was also... She's not in the movie very long. But the main girl is Tanya Roberts, who is one of Charlie's Angels. I kind of hate her. She's, like, one of my least favorite Bond girls.
Why? What's so bad about her?
She doesn't have any... Besides being hot... She doesn't have any interesting attributes at all.
She's
basically
a character.
She's a total damsel throughout the entire movie.
I bet you if it was
really,
okay.
Not really that used besides being like, I know a lot about earthquakes and tectonic plates and stuff like that, but beyond that she's kind of useless.
She's a scientist.
I just don't like her.
Okay, to be honest.
There's way better Bond girls out there. This one is totally forgettable.
She's not.
Like, honestly, when people are talking about their favorite Bond girls, no one's going to be like, I like the chick from A View to a Kill. Because, you know, she was interesting and had lots of memorable things. Not.
Alright, I just have a feeling you have something against this movie now, Dave. This is just not acceptable.
No. We haven't gotten to the parts that I like yet. There are some.
Yeah, I agree. The Bond girl is probably like a 3 for me because I thought they were serviceable. Like I didn't dislike the Bond girls, but they weren't anything spectacular. They were good.
I give them like a 1 or 2. Just totally forgettable.
And forgettable.
Anyways. Now getting to the part that I actually do like, the villains.
5 out of 5. Max Zorin is like one of the best villains.
I would have to agree. I actually really like
He's like
Max
in
Zorin.
The top
despite
5.
The despite the Nazi subplot that I still think is kind of stupid.
I still think
he's pretty cool. And it's Christopher Walken, so come on. Yeah, not much more to say about that. All right, allies and sidekicks.
What allies?
I guess allies, sidekicks, and henchmen would be this category. So I would consider Grace Jones to be more in this category.
Yeah.
So this is like all the supporting cast, I guess. And then there's that guy that James Bond sort of hangs out with, and he like pretends that he's his butler.
Oh,
and then he's like, you don't have to pretend I'm your butler all the time.
Oh, yeah. That poor guy died. That was sad.
Yeah, but I like that guy.
Yeah, he was cool, too. I give the allies and stuff like a 3.5.
I would give it like a 4.
Oh.
Again, I feel like Grace Jones is actually one of the saving graces.
I quit this podcast. This I quit. I'm done. I'm done, Dave. No more. No more of this madness.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to stop with the terrible puns.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I'm not going to stop. Whenever I think of a terrible pun, I have to say it.
Or else it will eat you up
on the side. I have a problem, okay?
I know. I have the same problem.
All right, so the next category, vehicles/weapons/gadgets.
Oh.
I don't know, because really a lot lacking. Of the vehicles and stuff are just stuff he kind of uses, I guess. Like,
yeah, there wasn't like...
Q doesn't, like, make him a fire truck. He just finds a fire truck and is like, I'll drive this.
Although there is a pretty cool gadget where it's like this little robot guy who just, like, looks at Bond.
Who's only really used to spy on Bond while he's having sex at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but,
so
you
Q
know.
Could be like, I'll film this and save it for my private files.
Q doesn't do that. Don't you talk about
We all know right? That's what he was doing.
No, Come he on. Was doing reconnaissance.
Sure, reconnaissance. That's what it's called. But yeah, there wasn't really any major, like, gadgets in this movie.
Yeah, no, and I think that's kind of what I liked about the movie, is that it wasn't as typical of a Bond movie. Like, it didn't just go through the motions.
I guess so. It still does in some ways, like, the plot-wise, it's very kind of a typical Bond plot, but...
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But it doesn't it doesn't go scene by scene like most Bond movies do.
I guess so. But again, he drove a fire truck, so I'm going to give it like a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, me too.
Just for that scene.
Me too.
Because that was kind of awesome. Okay, the locations.
I would give this a solid 4.
Yeah, there's some pretty nice locations in this movie. They go to Paris. I like how the last half of it is in San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
it's
that
nice.
Icy place where he goes skiing for like the 700th time, because Bond likes to ski a lot.
We should have one day like rank all of Bond's skiing scenes.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with Bond skiing scenes, to be honest with you. I don't think there's anything you can, like, really get out of a Bond skiing scene. Like, what new thing can be discovered from a Bond skiing scene at this point?
Like, what new thing can he do?
Yeah.
Or, like, new trick that he hasn't done before?
Yeah, I mean, after we got the whole,
I don't know, like, he skied backwards, he skied with one ski, he skied off of a cliff. In this movie, he turns, like, the front part of a snowmobile into a snowboard, and
yeah.
Then he skis with that.
And then at one point, like, he gets, like, a British flag when he jumps off a cliff. Like, it's basically, like, everything that could be done with Bond at this point and his skiing shenanigans has been done.
Pretty much. But anyways, going back to locations.
I will
give it a 4 out of 5.
I will give it a 4.
I mean, they got to shoot not only on the Eiffel Tower, but also on the Golden Gate Bridge. So
yeah, we all know how awesome I think that Golden Gate Bridge scene is. So I think that's what kind of like just sells the whole movie. Did they actually shoot that on the Golden Gate Bridge?
No, they shot all the wide shots, like where you're just seeing a big wide vista of the Golden Gate Bridge is the Golden Gate Bridge. And for some of them, they had like, they made a little like remote controlled blimp and they kind of made it fly in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. But then all of the close-up stuff was done in a studio.
Oh.
And they just sort of, they rebuilt a section of the bridge and then shot it on that. So the stuff where it looks like he's dangling above, like, you know, like there's cars like hundreds of feet below him. He's actually dangling above like a projector screen that's projecting an image of cars 100 feet below him. But
that's
it's
still
only, like,
pretty
5
cool.
Feet below him. It looks very convincing.
Yeah.
So I'll give him that. All right. The next category is the action.
I would give that like a 5 out of 5. I think the action scenes are awesome.
You know what? For as much as I complain about Roger Moore being too old or whatever, I will say the action scenes in this movie actually were really good. Like, you have the fire truck scene, you got the Golden Gate Bridge scene, you got the whole thing with the Eiffel Tower, and the movie actually moves, like, pretty fast. Like, it has a good pacing to it.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no really slow parts. So, I would give the action, I'd give it a solid 4 out of 5.
I would give it a 400 out of 5. Just kidding, 5 out of 5.
Oh, okay. The next one is the story.
I enjoyed the story quite a bit. I enjoyed all the stuff with the horse races, and I really enjoyed the whole Silicon Valley, driving it into the whole tech industry angle to it. I'd give it a solid 4.
I've already kind of gone over how ridiculous I think the story to this movie is. And how it was a ripoff of Goldfinger, but a not as good one.
Goldfinger!
Because if you blew up Fort Knox, it actually would be devastating to the world market.
If you drowned all of San Francisco, pretty sure that would have a big effect on the market.
It would have a bigger effect on just world. People in the world in general of being, holy shit, like, this whole entire city is destroyed, than it would on, like, oh, and now, as a residual thing,
also,
Max Zorin's microchips are worth more money.
Also, I don't recall Goldfinger mercilessly shooting a bunch of guys in a mine in an awesome action scene. That scene was awesome.
Okay.
It was awesome, Dave.
No, I don't know. I'm not particularly fond of the story in this movie. I think it's kind of dumb. And
it feels the same way about you, Dave. Just kidding. It can't have an opinion. It's a story.
Hey, in my defense, Roger Moore in the commentary on this movie says that it's the least favorite of the five, or it's his least favorite of the five, or seven, I guess, James Bond movies that he made.
Yeah, but really, guys, who trusts his opinion?
I do. He's the guy who played James Bond in the movie.
That's hearsay.
I would say I trust his opinion more than I trust yours, young man.
I quit.
Okay, well, you can quit after we're done this episode.
You know what? I realize I've quit like 5 times during this episode. So this makes this minute right here, this is my comeback minute.
Okay, so you're coming back now?
Yep. Just for this minute.
So for this minute, we're going to talk about probably the best, awesomest thing about this entire movie, song/music.
Oh,
I give it a 5 billion out of 5 because Duran Duran's song for this movie is the greatest song of all time in the history of mankind, and it should go down in history as like the greatest song ever that was written by God himself.
Uh-huh. Now who's hyperbolizing? It's good.
Okay, I'll give it a 5 out of 5 because I really like the song, and it has, I forget the guy's name. John Barry does this is the last movie, actually, that he did the score for.
Oh, did he die, or did he just not do it anymore?
I don't know if he's, I'm going to look it up, actually, right now.
While you're looking that up, I'm going to sing a Christmas carol. I'm not.
Please don't.
I'm not going to sing a Christmas carol.
I feel like he is dead, but I feel like I should confirm that.
Yeah.
Music by John Barry. Okay, I'm clicking on his name right now. But yeah, John Barry, basically, for those of you who don't know, he did the James Bond music, I think from Russia with Love all the way to this one, you know, minus a few movies here and there. Any of the ones that had music that kind of sounded stupid, he didn't do those ones. Oh, and it turns out he is dead, but he hasn't been dead very long. He just died in 2011.
Oh, I feel like I heard that, yeah.
So, RIP John Barry. But yeah, all of the James Bond movies that have like an awesome soundtrack are the ones that he did the music for. And generally, he co-wrote the music for the theme songs as well.
Oh, really?
Which is why the theme songs usually kind of reprise themselves in his score.
Oh, that makes sense. That really does happen in this one. I remember when they're doing their last battle, like, it has, like, a really slow, tense version of the Duran Duran song. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that part, I will say, was, like, another one of the saving graces of this movie.
So I feel like if I were to rank this the way you rank your Bond movies, like the way we rank the Bond movies on this show, it probably would not come out as much of an amazing Bond movie as I was saying it is. But if I just look at it as, in my opinion, a regular movie and remove it from the context of being a Bond movie, it's amazing 80s campiness.
Okay, I'll give you that. Out of all the 80s Bond movies, this is the most 80s out of them. Like, it feels the most a part of that decade. I mean, the whole plot of this movie is all about microchips. Yeah. Like, do you know how cheesy that sounds today? Like, how easy it is to get microchips? Like, there's no way to get a monopoly on something as affordable and easily manufactured as a microchip. But back then, it was like, microchip? It's so cool!
That's exactly what somebody who doesn't know anything about microchips would say. Dave! Did you go to microchip school?
Well, I studied them a little bit in school.
Oh, I'll shut up.
In my computers class.
Oh, a computers class? Last time I checked, computers aren't microchips. Oh, wait a minute.
But they kind of are. They're a bunch of tiny microchips inside of a big metal and plastic case.
Okay, Dave. All right, Dave. You're right.
But I'm just saying, microchips are in everything now. There's a microchip in your car. There's a microchip in your phone. Your computer's made out of microchips.
This is an intriguing point you bring up.
But back in the 80s, it was like, whoa, microchip. Cool.
Whoa, microchip? That's... You mean that villain, the hero from Punisher's assistant? Whoa.
Punisher has an assistant named Microchip?
Yeah, you actually didn't know that? He definitely does, yeah.
He
runs his battle van.
Much cheesier now. Wow, that's even more 80s than this movie.
Yeah, well, that's why he doesn't have either of those people anymore.
Okay, fair enough. So anyways, our final thoughts, I guess, of A View to a Kill. You've already kind of said yours, unless you have something to add about how awesome you think this movie is.
No, other than everybody should watch it.
You know what? It was kind of the same thing with me and The Living Daylights. Like, I just really like that movie for what it is.
The Living Daylights. Ugh.
And you didn't like it? And and when... Shut up!
Oh, sorry. Okay. Oh, we're still on air. Whoops.
Yeah, and when we ranked that movie, it didn't really rank up as well. It was kind of the same idea, but you know what? I still liked it for what it was, and it's kind of the same thing with this movie. When you rank the individual elements, it's like, it's not that good, but maybe as a whole, it's a little bit better.
Yeah, I understand.
For you, at least.
Yep, not for Dave, though, because Dave hates
Yeah,
it.
For me,
hates fun.
It's just, I don't know. I guess I like my James Bond to be a little bit more serious, a little bit more closer to Ian Fleming's version.
Yeah, okay, so I was going to make this point earlier, but in Ian Fleming's version of Bond, do you think Bond probably just would have let that girl die in the fire and not even save her?
Probably not.
Oh, I thought he was, like a jerk.
He's not, well, he has kind of, like, jerky opinions, I guess. Like, he's a little bit of a sexist, but
That's
at the same
weird.
Time...
I don't know, I don't feel
at
like...
At the same
Bond's
time, he's
opinions.
More... I feel like he's more chivalrous in the books than he actually is in the movies.
Which proves one thing. Chivalry is sexist. Dun-dun-dun. No, just kidding.
I don't know. I guess you could argue that.
I'm kidding. I like to be chipotle. I like to
never chipotle.
Mind. Chipotle.
I like chipotle flavoring as well.
Anyways, back to the chipotle-esque movie that we're talking about.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have anything else really to add about this movie. It's pretty fun in a cheesy, campy '80s kind of way, but. you know, just taken on its own merits, it's really not that amazing of a movie, I think.
And I say everything the opposite of what he just said.
But I'm sure everyone has their own opinion of this film.
Yeah.
It's apparently a very divisive James Bond film.
Who would have thought, which, really? That's funny.
Yeah, I guess so. Alright, so that wraps it up for this episode. I'm not sure if we're going to do another James Bond episode after
ever.
This.
Oh, I thought you said episode. Whoops.
Eventually we will. But, yeah, we'll do something after this, I'm sure.
Or will we?
Maybe something Christmassy, even though it'll probably be New Year's by the time it comes out.
I happen to quite
Maybe something New Year's-y, then.
So what, that
Watch
Rudolph
that stupid New Year's Eve movie.
Oh, I was going to say the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer sequel where he saves, like, baby New Year.
That happened?
You didn't know that happened? That totally happened.
Wow, that's terrible. Anyways,
oh my gosh,
for
you
movie madness,
movie.
We have been...
Christopher Walken, who does not agree with David's opinions of my wonderful performance.
And Roger Moore, who believes this was the worst James Bond movie of all time. It was terrible.
Well, I think you were the worst James Bond.
Please shut up. You will shut up now.
Oh.
And this has been Movie Madness. Stay tuned for more madness in the future.
Not many movies, though.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.